Got a couple of other things coming up on Friday night, 6 p.m. We've got our young families group. I'm part of that group, so it's mostly young families. They let old guys into. But great time of fellowship, getting in the Word, and just hanging out and doing life together. We've got the Stand for Life. You guys know we've talked about this a lot lately. Super excited. A lot of the young adults are really active in this, really just making a stand for the protection of unborn babies, something that our church is really passionate about. You can talk to Leah if you want more details about that. We've got a business meeting coming up on the 24th of this month. We're going to have a number of business meetings coming up, so keep your eyes on the schedule. We've got votes coming up on modification to our church constitution with our new covenant that we're really excited about. We've got a large influx of members coming in that we're going to be voting on. So we've got a lot of really exciting things coming up, so keep your eyes on that. That will be after the service immediately on the 24th. Also, so there's moments of joy in that exciting business meeting. That's going to be the last week for Josh and Chrissy here. So make sure you stick around. We're going to have a goodbye lunch for them. Josh will be preaching his final message here. And so we want to send them off well. They have been very faithful to Wheatland. You guys know how they've served in so many different capacities here. And we want to make sure that they feel the love from us that we've felt from them while they've served here. And then serving at Open Door Mission, another thing, a huge ministry here, and you can see the Tilsons if you want additional details about that. And then we've got one last announcement from Sean. He said he promised to keep it under 15 minutes, so we're doing well.
I promise it won't be that long. I just wanted to give everybody an update. I know it's a busy Sunday, but summer's been busy, so I just wanted to give everybody an update. I wanted to thank the congregation for the overwhelming feedback that we got on the worship survey. I think we had, what was it, Blake? Where's Blake? Where are you? Well, we have like 40-something, 50-something people respond. Yeah, it was really good feedback. So the worship team really appreciates your feedback. Got some really positive feedback. It seems like, you know, everybody's looking at the worship ministry pretty positively. We also got some constructive feedback that will be making some adjustments. The biggest thing the biggest piece of feedback we got was that people really liked the hymnal Sunday that we did months ago. So I'm going to be working with the elder team. I got a quote put together. We're going to be working on purchasing some more hymnal books, some more modern hymnal books. But why I say modern is they've got a good mix of, like, you know, modern tunes and old traditional hymns in them. The books that we have right now, unfortunately, there's a limited quantity of them, and when we have a full Sunday, there's not quite enough books for everybody. So I got a quote together on that. So we're gonna be doing that, and it's gonna be a good tool for the worship team to kind of have a change of pace once in a while, give the team a little break, and maybe kind of go back to some more traditional roots for the congregation, which I think will be good. The other big change on the worship team is that Paul is going to be stepping back for a little while. You know, Emma's going to be having her baby. So we're all really excited for the Beckers. So Paul's going to be stepping back for a few months. You won't see him up here. And I'm excited to let you all know that Shannon Connor is going to be joining us as a team leader. If any of you know, Shannon's a music teacher at a local school. She really has a heart for the Lord, and she's really a very talented musician. She plays multiple instruments. So we're really excited to bring Shannon on as a team leader, and to look at the, you know, the future for her and her contribution here. And then last of all, I'm looking for, if anybody's interested, looking to train another PowerPoint technician so that we could have three technicians so we can be on a good rotation. So if anybody's interested or familiar or wants to learn PowerPoint, please let me know. We'll get you trained up. It's pretty simple. The program we use integrates pretty well into PowerPoint. And that leads me to my last thing. I wanted to give a special thank you to Chrissy Petraeus. I won't be here next week, Chrissy, but you stepped in to do the PowerPoint thing when there was a big need. You really helped give some relief to the other PowerPoint techs. I know it's not a very glorious position, and you're kind of in the background, but I appreciate you doing it, and your attention to detail in the presentations does not go unnoticed. So I just want to say thank you to you, and I wish you and Josh really all the best in the new chapter of life that you're starting. So, thank you.
3 minutes. you say?
Way less than 15 minutes. He did great. Now we're going to stand and worship. Anybody that was here yesterday, or if you had a chance to watch online, one of the questions that came up was, what is the purpose of the church, right? What was the intent of the church? And Mark gave us an answer, and one of the things we talked about is, we are here to glorify God, right, and to enjoy him forever. And that's why we're here today, to worship our God, our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer, and what he did for us. Amen. Yeah, we got to have more than one amen. Come on. I mean, that's amen, right? So let's stand and worship together. You guys can go ahead and grab a seat. I don't know about you guys, but that combination of those three songs, man. You guys know this is our time where we enter into our 5 minutes of prayer, and I was just standing in the back and just thinking about the combination of lifting our voices together, worshiping our God, moving into 5 minutes of prayer, and then moving into the word being delivered to us through the Spirit. Whew, man. It is humbling to think about the gifts that our God has given us in the way that he lets us come and join with him. And it doesn't have to be just in this moment, of course, but in this moment with you guys, this is good. This is really, really good. So let's join together in prayer. We've got some prompts, as always, up on the screen. This is a time that you can use for a time of confession, a time of thankfulness, a time to get into the Word, a time that you can just ask God to change something in your life that you know that needs to be changed, to do a work in you that needs to be done. So let's join together in prayer. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. And we are so thankful this morning that we're not the same. That we're new creations because of you. That we're not dead in our sins. We're not bound by the enemy. We're not kept down by his weak attempts to do what he wants to do. We're thankful for your victory, for your sacrifice, and your freedom. Oh, Lord, that we will walk in that freedom this morning. That victory will ring true through all of us here today, Lord, and that we won't forget it. We're thankful for the word that you're going to bring to us here, Lord, this morning, that you've already prepared. You know what it is that we all need. We're thankful for the Petrus family, Lord, and their faithfulness and stepping out and entering into your calling. And so we pray for their family, Lord, as we pray for Wheatland. We know your will be done. I'm thankful for the flock and the family here, Lord, that has walked faithfully in this process as well. We ask you continue to guide us and give us discernment and be with us this morning as we just sit in your presence, soak in your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And we ask this in your name. Amen. We're going to stand together and read the word before Mark comes and delivers the message. This is going to be in the ESV translation, and this is from Psalm 62. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Selah. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. And that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, can everybody hear me? Yeah? All right. And then how do you turn this thing on? You go on. Yeah, that's what you do. On, off. There you go. Genius. All right. Well, my name's Mark, and a lot of you I've met, but also a lot of you I haven't. And so after the service, if you haven't met me, please come up, introduce yourself. I don't bite, I love people, and I love God. So, but others of you that I got to meet over the weekend, what a blessing to hear your stories of God's grace in your life. I just asked you the question, so what's your story? And you guys like immediately went into kind of like how the Lord rescued you. It was just, it was beautiful. With some of you, I cried. So there you go. the Spirit was at work mightily this weekend. And it is so good to be able to bring you the word this morning of Psalm 62. There's a couple reasons why I chose this psalm. So Psalm 62 has been a psalm that I've been meditating on in my own personal walk with the Lord. That would be the very first reason why I chose this psalm. So this comes out of my prayer closet. This comes out of me thinking about this and meditating on it and struggling and wrestling with God with it as well, praying these words over and over again and being reminded of who my God is and how faithful he is. The second reason I chose this is because I've never preached it before. And so, yes, I work a 40-hour week job right now, and I'm in the marketplace, and it has been a blessing to be able to let the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, plow my soul in this as I've been preparing to preach the Word to you, not down to you, but to you. This is God's Word. There is a message here for everyone, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, whether you're just exploring this Christianity thing or you've been in the faith for quite some time. This is God's Word. Now, how do I work this thing? Look at that. There's my title. We're clipping along here, folks. For God alone, my soul waits. Psalm 62. Now, I know we just read it, but I would like to read it again. Dan did an awesome job. But I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, I kind of daydream a little bit and I kind of go off, you know, into space a little bit. Well, it's good to hear the word twice. So turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, or your electronic device called smartphone. I don't know if it's really smart, but anyway. Psalm 62. Listen to the word of the Lord. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion, and the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. Pray with me. Lord, this is your word. This is not my word. This is your word. I have no authority whatsoever. Anyone else that gets up here and preaches your word has no authority but your word and the power of your spirit. So, Lord, help me to just disappear, that people would hear from Jesus, that they would see Jesus, that they would be comforted by you, Holy Spirit, convicted and equipped to do your will. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you might have be wondering, as far as what comfort that I've received from this Psalm 62. Here it is. It's the comfort of knowing that the believer in Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, does not wait alone. And as I was thinking about this, we don't wait alone because we have God Almighty who will never leave us or forsake us because of Christ. But also, we don't wait alone because we have his church to wait with us and for us and pray for us as we wait. According to Isaiah 64:4, it says that God works for those who wait for him. That is good news, church. That is really good news. And this is exactly what we see in Psalm 62. We might not see those words, but man, do we feel them, right? And that's what the Psalms are meant to do, with the imagery that's portrayed, the poetry that's given there. It is to stir up our affections for God once again and be reminded of who he is, what he has done, and what he continues to do. The Christian life is a life of waiting, is it not? It's a life of waiting. Waiting, though, in the Christian life, is not a passive act or even a neutral one, but a Holy Spirit cultivated virtue in the life of the believer. It is the fourth virtue in the fruit of the Spirit, correct? Galatians 5:22. Now, I don't know about you, but I suck at waiting. I do. Yes, the pastor just said suck. Sorry. The guest pastor, anyway. And I stink at it. I mean, my kids make fun of me that when we go hiking, I'm way ahead hiking in front of them, you know? You ever seen that YouTube where, you know, the daughter took a picture of, or did the video of the father, and the father's like way ahead of her. Hey, this is my dad. Yeah, that's how my kids are operating. Like, hey, dad, come on back. We're over here. The family's over here. You don't have to go all the way over there. It's like I'm on this mission or something, and I'm trying to get a good calorie burn or something on the hike or something. I don't know what it is. But I think if we were all honest, we all lack patience. We all lack patience when it comes to waiting. So here's the question that I want to ask you. And I don't have 62 slides like Sean, but I've got three. So there you go. What does it look like for God's people to wait on the Lord? That's the question that I want to ask you, that I've asked me, is I've let the Holy Spirit plow through my soul with his word. Okay? In Psalm 62, we're going to see three ways that we, by God's grace, can respond to the Lord in our seasons of waiting. In seasons of time of waiting, here we go again. Look at that. Magic. We remember God's character. Verses 1 and 2. Okay, if you love to take notes, like my wife does, the second point, we preach the gospel to ourselves, verses 3 through 7. And the last point, we trust in him at all times, verses 8 through 12. Now, before we dive in, let me give you just a little background of this text. This will be short because there's hardly any background. So there you go. There isn't much. This is one of those psalms that we come to and we go, I wonder what David's going through right now. We don't really know clearly what his exact situation that he's facing. The text is unclear on what is the historical situation. There's really no evidence in the postscript. It says, to the choir master, according to J. Duthin, who is some just ordinary guy, worship guy, and he helped with this psalm and putting it to music and things like that back then, right? There's a little bit of a hint, maybe a struggle of waiting on the Lord. Obviously, that's what's really clear, is that there's a struggle of waiting on the Lord. He does bring up some circumstances in it, but for the most part, David knows this. And this is what David's clinging to. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to cling to, is that David knows that he has a big God despite his situation that he's facing. Despite the season of waiting that he is in, he knows that he has a big God and that God will see him through. So first point, remember God's character. Verses 1 and 2. David immediately opens up in this declaration about this sovereign God. He says, for God alone, or another way of saying is, or God only. My soul waits in silence. Now, this word wait in the Hebrew language can both mean wait and hope. For instance, like Psalm 130, verse 5 says this, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and then it says, and in his word, I hope. That word for hope there is the same word for wait. This word comes from the root word that means cord. The idea is it's a pulling of a cord. And when you do so, you add tension to it, right? You add tension to it to the point that it snaps. So the idea is this feeling of tension and release. And when we wait on the Lord, there is a tension, right? There's a tension in the waiting with expectation of what the Lord is going to do. There's a wrestling with our patience and just our flesh and going, Lord, your timing, I know it's perfect, but I really can't wait on you, but I'm trying to wait on you, right? There's a struggle that's going on there. David feels this tension of waiting and hoping. He's living in this present situation that he's in, and yet he's hoping for what his future will be like. Mark Vrogop, say that 10 times fast, right? In his book, Waiting Isn't a Waste, the subtitle, get this, is The Surprising Comfort of Trusting God in the Uncertainties of Life. He calls this waiting time, a gap. Living in the gap. The gap between the two realities of our life in the present and our not yet reality of life in the future. That life that we are living presently, that maybe we're like, okay, God, I'm done living this part of the present part of my life, and I want to get to the future part of my life, right? But again, isn't that the Christian life, right? We live in the already, but not yet. And it is in this gap that King David recalls who God is. So again, verse 1 again, look with me there. He says, from him comes my salvation. The idea of salvation here is both spiritual and physical. The idea here is of deliverance. Verse 2, he alone, he only is my rock, a sure foundation that cannot be moved, that doesn't change. We are changeable, but God never changes. Amen. He is our rock. He is our fortress, he goes on to say. This idea of a battlement, that we're in a war, and we run to that battlement. We run to that fortress, and we find refuge in him, where we cannot greatly be shaken, moved. So let me ask you this question. What season of waiting are you in? What season of waiting are you in? You're all, in some shape or form, either coming out of a season of waiting, or you're going into a season of waiting. Maybe you're waiting for just that perfect job to come along. And you're wondering, when, Lord, are you going to provide me this job? Or maybe it's a promotion. Maybe you're waiting to have children. And you've been trying, and it seems like the Lord has not opened up your womb. And you're waiting on God to have children. Maybe you're waiting for a child that's grown and is at the adult age. And you're waiting for him to come home to Christ. Come home to the Father and be embraced by the Father. Maybe you're waiting to see fruit in somebody that you've been sharing the gospel with, or somebody that you've been investing in. And you're wondering, Lord, when are you going to help this person get it? Right? You're waiting. I've been in a season of waiting. My wife and I have been in a season of waiting. We have been waiting for a church that God is being faithful to prepare. You have been waiting for a pastor. We are seeking the Lord and what is his will. We're waiting for you to come to that conclusion. We're waiting on the Lord to bring that to fruition. It is hard to wait. I had to wait for 14 years before my dad came to Christ. I came to Christ at the age of 22 years of age. Okay? Right away, I was that kind of guy, 22 years. Mom, you got to look at this. You got to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 3, right? And then my dad got to the point where he was like, you know what? There is not going to be any talk of religion in this house anymore. We are done. I mean, that's kind of the way that it was. And I had to kind of go in my room and I had to read my Bible. I was a closet Bible reader, I guess, for a while. I'd go to church. It wasn't until 2 years later that my dad asked me, now, why did Jesus die on the cross? Then 14 years later, or 12 years later, by just a great brother in the Lord who I served with at the last church that I pastored, almost 10 years ago. And he went to my dad, he visited him, and he basically shared with him the gospel. He was in the hospital. My dad had a scare with cardiopulmonary disease. He smoked like 50 years, like a chimney, and eventually caught up to him. I got to wait that 14 years and then see God do glorious things to the point where I got to pastor my dad at that same church. And then I got to baptize him even after the church closed. I got to baptize him. What a gift. God never, listen to me, God never wastes our waiting. He never wastes it. Our waiting is not for nothing. In the waiting, God wants to refine us and teach us. In it, God wants to remind us of who he is, what he has done, and what he will continue to do. He alone is our rock, our fortress, the one we depend on in our waiting. God wants us to see in the waiting that even though our circumstances of life overwhelm us at times, and maybe you're there right now where you are overwhelmed. I get it. God is faithful no matter what season of waiting that you are in, that you find yourselves in right now. God is so patient in our waiting. It's we are the ones who are impatient. I mean, we get impatient when our smartphones don't move fast enough, right? We lose reception. I'm like, this stupid phone, I'm going to throw it out and I hate this service, you know, whatever, right? Or we have to reboot the computer at work, right? Because that's IT's response. Every time something goes wrong with our computer, just reboot, right? You ever have that? It's usually correct. There you go. Thank you, Joseph. We are impatient people. Right? We're driving. Somebody's driving really slow and they have the blinker on. Oh my gosh. And they're not turning, but they're driving 40 miles an hour in a 55. Right? And you're like, please, Lord, give me patience with this person, this jerk in front of me. Right? So, contrary to our sinful nature, it is good to wait upon the Lord. God reminds us of this all over Scripture. I mean, in the book of Psalms, you know how many times wait, the word wait is mentioned? And then you compound that with how long, O Lord? There's quite a few. In fact, the majority of the Psalms are laments. And in those laments, there's a lot of waiting and crying out for that waiting. Listen to Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So God reminds us that it is he that is our courage in this time of waiting. Psalm 33, verse 20, he reminds us that he is our help and shield. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our hearts are glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. And then Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31, this here is where we see that he is our strength and that he is our power to endure. Listen to the word of the Lord. Have you not known? Isaiah says, have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. He goes on, even youths shall faint and be weary. And young men and women shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In our waiting, we need to remember God's character. Second point, preach the gospel to yourself. Verses 3 through 7. So now David moves from his declaration of who God is in this psalm to his present situation as he recalls his situation and the harm that's being done to him. And in the midst of this recalling, he preaches the truth to himself. So in seasons of waiting, we want to preach the gospel to ourselves. In verses 3 and 4, we get a hint at what David is facing and feeling. I'm going to just summarize here. He is feeling attacked. And as soon as he tries to get back up, he feels knocked down again. Maybe some of you can relate. I think that was one of the words in the song. I promise you, I did not plan that. That was the Holy Spirit. Life is hard, right? It feels like no matter how hard you try, you just feel even more defeated. The text goes on to say that those who are plotting and attacking him act like they are his friends. Can we relate? But inwardly, they are traitors against him. He says in verse 4, they only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood, deception, lies to his face. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly, man, they're cursing his name. But David now moves from talking about his circumstances to proclaiming truth to himself. Look at this in verse 5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. Did you see the shift in logic from verses 1 through verse 5? Did you see it? In verse 1, the psalmist says, for God alone my soul waits. But in verse 5, he says, O my soul, wait in silence. He goes from stating he waits on God to proclaiming or preaching to his soul that he must wait on the Lord. What is going on here? David's not perfect. Imagine that. David's not perfect. Have you looked at David's bio? He's not perfect, church. He was far from it. And here he is struggling with God in the midst of a situation. He's like taking hold of himself. And he's preaching the gospel to himself. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a 20th century preacher and pastor, late 20th century, describes this struggle in his book, Spiritual Depression. He says this, listen to this. The main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself. You have to preach to yourself. You must go on to remind yourself of God, he says, who God is and what God is and what God has done and what God has pledged himself to do. But again, let's be honest. So often in times of waiting, we tend to get frustrated. We get frustrated that things or people are not moving as fast as we would like them to. Or we just want to ignore the situation and try to make ourselves feel better, do a little binge watching on some streaming, right? I'm going to forget about it, but we're really not forgetting about it. We're really not ignoring it. Or we become overly anxious, which could lead to like fear and manipulation. And if I say this, then this will happen. If I do this, then this will happen. Let me help you out, God. Right? And we try to control the situation. Mark Vrogop again says, this is the three A's in his book: anger, apathy, and anxiety. So I have been in a season of waiting. I shared that earlier. I have been waiting for the Lord. In some ways, I've been waiting for almost 10 years to step back into full-time vocational ministry. I've been waiting for him to stir in my heart once again. When I got out of full-time vocational ministry, so the first church, give you just a little history about my pastoral ministry. The first church, Central PA, 4.5 months into it, the church splits. I just moved my family from Chicago all the way to Central PA, Altoona. People there in Altoona prided themselves on basically boycotting Billy Graham's movies. You know, the great, you know, preacher and all that. Now Franklin Graham has stepped in his place in somewhat. And we'd, you know, meet people at the park with our two small children at the time. And they would say, oh, what brought you here? Well, we're planning a church. And they would say, why? I was like, well, good to meet you too. The Lord provided friends during that time of waiting as well. And not once did we ever go without a paycheck. God provided in so many different ways. The second church, we were waiting for God to just show up, work in his people, take Oberlin by storm with his people, see people get converted. We had a prayer room, and we had things up on the wall, and we're praying, God, will you please break hearts in this city? They were dealing with transgenderism back in the early 2000s, before it hit culture and worldwide. They prided themselves on having no identity. We couldn't even have a Bible study in the library because it was too spiritual. But yet they could have a study about natural phenomenon and ghosts and goblins and demons and things like that. Very dark place. We waited on the Lord during that time. And the Lord said, I want you to close the church. It's time. I felt in direct disobedience to the Lord if I wouldn't have closed the church. I had coaches in my life at the time coaching me through that and so on. So we didn't see what we hoped to see. But it's his church, not ours. So seasons of waiting are hard. It's times of loss, times of dying to dreams, times of realizing that we're not God. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has been so faithful to provide his local church in my life. Right now, I currently serve as a lay elder at Substance Church. Those men are praying for me right now. I receive text messages from them letting me know. Friends who have counseled me well during this time of waiting on the Lord. And he continues by his Spirit to direct me to his word and remind me of his gospel once again. This is what we see David do in his struggle, right? In the CSB version, it says this, verse 5, rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. My refuge is in God. So David, by God's grace, grabs hold of himself, preaches the gospel to himself. In God alone is where the hope and salvation come from. It's not in our dreams. It's not in seeing change in somebody or even in ourselves. In God alone is where our hope and salvation come from. It's not in our circumstances. It's not in our seasons of waiting, but in the God we wait upon us who works for us. Tim and Kathy Keller in their devotional on the Psalms, the songs of Jesus, a year of daily devotionals in the Psalms says this, the battle to shape our hearts, they're saying this about Psalm 62, the battle to shape our hearts with the truths our minds know is never over. Not on this side of heaven, right? It's never over. They go on to say, and here indeed is the great truth of the Bible, that the gospel, salvation, comes from God alone, not from ourselves or any effort that we can produce. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is what? Imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you, believer. You are being guarded by God's power, it goes on to say, through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Because our salvation is secured by God, listen, because our salvation is secured by God, we can now live our salvation out by the power of his Spirit and hope and wait upon him to bring us through those times of waiting and ultimately to himself when he returns again or when he takes us home. Amen? So how do we wait on the Lord in our seasons of waiting? We remember God's character, right? We've seen that so far. We preach the gospel to ourselves. And lastly, we trust the Lord at all times. Verses 8 through 12. So now David moves from proclaiming the gospel to himself to proclaiming it to others. Look with me there. He calls his people to trust in God at all times. Verse 8. Trust in him at all times. Now stop. Stop right there. Okay? Let's look at this further. If you leave here this morning and you say to yourself, okay, all right, I hear you, Pastor. God's word says that I need to trust God at all times. I need to do this now. Okay. You are going to fail. You're going to fail. I'm going to fail. You're going to fail. How do I know that? Because no one on this side of heaven trusts God at all times out of their own strength. That's the key. Out of their own strength. It is only when we surrender to God through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can begin to trust in him at all times. It says all times. That's what the Word of God says. It's not what I'm saying. It's what the Word of God says. All times, both in failure and in victory, both on the mountaintops and low in the valleys, where it's dark and it's lonely. Both in our sin and abounding in grace. Both in times of trouble and in times of peace. Psalm 9, verses 9 through 10. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name, listen, put their trust in you. And why? The word therefore, because you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Isn't God's word good? Jesus was forsaken by God on a cross, carrying the weight of our sin and the Father's full wrath, unleashed. Jesus died and was raised again 3 days later so that we could trust God our Father always. And he will never leave us or forsake us. Not because of how consistent or inconsistent our trust in him is, but in Jesus, who is our trust and has entrusted himself fully to the Father, who became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become what? The righteousness of God. So what does trusting God at all times look like? Look with me back in verse 8. Trust in him at all times. O people, he says, pour out your heart before him. This is what unhindered, unleashed trust looks like. It is fervent prayer. I know some of you have been there. I know some of you are there right now, waiting. Waiting for God's healing. Waiting when the disease will take you. But the disease won't take you. You know the Lord? The Lord's going to take you home to himself, just as he promised. It's in times of waiting that we exercise our trust in the Lord by crying out to him in prayer. So what does this pouring out to your heart look like? Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, says this. He describes it like this. He says, regardless of what it is, just throw it in a pile before him. As you open up your heart completely to a good friend, he wants to hear it, and he wants to give you his aid and counsel. Do you remember the story in 1 Samuel of chapter 1 with Hannah? And what she's doing, she's crying out, right? She's in the temple, and big old fat Eli, which is probably a representation of the big old blind Israel at the time of God's people, big old fat Eli sees her praying, sees her mouth moving, and what does he think? She's drunk. It's like, dude, you're the one that's drunk. I mean, you're a priest. She was pouring out her heart to the Lord. She was desperate for God to move. She wanted a child. This is what pouring out your heart looks like. Listen to this. It says that, again, he thinks she's drunk, which is crazy, but anyway. But she responds by telling him she's not drunk. Like the one who's not the priest is teaching the priest. How about that, right? But she's only speaking out of her great anxiety and vexation. That's it. 1 Samuel 1:16. This is what pouring out your soul looks like. Now look, I know it might feel awkward. And you probably don't even know where to begin. But don't worry about it. Just begin. Just begin. In your prayer closet, with those that you gather with during the week that encourage you. And tell the Lord everything that is on your heart that you're working through right now. And what you're going through, even the stuff that right now you're distracted with because you are overwhelmed. Tell him how much you need his help to endure through this season of waiting that you find yourself in. This is not a sign of weakness. Not a sign of weakness to endure, but strength to endure. Listen, all we bring to God is our need. That's it. All we bring to God is our need. And David is aware of this temptation to trust in himself. And he cautions us to be aware of it as well. Look with me back in verse 10. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set your heart not on them. Now, the New Living Translation says this. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. Dang it. Right? That's what we tend to do. You know how we find out that it's the center of our lives? When it's taken from us and we feel like our soul has just been ripped out of our chest. That's when we know that we've made it the center of our lives. Anytime that we put more trust in ourselves or the resources that we think we have, we become the center of our lives. We think it depends on us to persevere through seasons of waiting. We think we need to white knuckle it, put on our morality bootstraps, dig in. That's what we need to do. No, we need to surrender. The psalmist makes clear who the center of our lives should be. Verse 11, once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Power belongs to him, not to us. David calls his people and he calls us not to put our trust in our power, our wealth, our riches, our resources, our circumstances, but in God alone, who power belongs to. Not only is God all-powerful, but he is all-loving. Verse 12 again, that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. Man, I love this word, steadfast love. You love it? It's all over the Bible. And when Jesus shows up in the flesh, because he's always been there, but in his incarnate state, he is the manifestation of God's steadfast love. This word is so palpable and powerful that you've got to have all kinds of different words. Unstoppable, all-pursuing, never giving up, covenant love, loyal love, unbreakable love, and on and on. It's a love we don't deserve. We deserve hell. That's what the Bible says. For you will render to a man, verse 12, last part there, according to his work. Man, God is the one who is all-powerful, all-loving, and executes justice. Not us. A sobering and humble thought to end with. If you don't know this God of the Bible, listen. God sent his son, the greater David, the better David, the perfect David, whose name is Jesus, who perfectly obeyed God, his Father. And he also poured out his soul to his Father in a garden the night before his arrest. And he cried out. He cried out to the Father so much, falling prostrate on the ground I love The Chosen, but I think they got it wrong. I don't think he got onto a rock. I think he fell to the ground. And he was so overwhelmed with what he faced before him. Yes, the cross. Yes, the scourging. Yes, the being forgotten about by his disciples and being abandoned. But even more so, enduring the full weight of sin and the wrath of God that was poured out upon him in that darkness. And what did he do? He cried out to the Lord. He poured out his heart. And he was sinless. And he cried out, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." How many of you are there now? "Nevertheless, not my will," he says, "but yours be done." Jesus surrendered to the Father's will so that you could surrender your will to the Father and embrace Christ. And those of you who have embraced Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are absolutely not alone in your waiting. You have Him, the triune God, the Holy Spirit that dwells in you and that reminds you that you belong to Him and not the devil. Don't let the devil convince you that the season of waiting you're in is because God enjoys it. But He will use it. And He will sanctify you. So make your waiting, as I encourage you, I encourage myself, make it a time of worship. And pour out your heart before Him. Because He's God. And you're not. We're not. In times of waiting, remember His character. Preach the gospel to yourself and trust Him always, who is all powerful and all loving. Pray with me. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the song that we are going to sing now that reminds us, Lord, of what it means to wait upon you and that you are faithful. Even when we are faithless, even when we become impatient, frustrated, angry, vexated, full of anxiety, fear, and manipulation that plagues our hearts during times of waiting. Lord, you are faithful. And your timing is perfect and pleasing in every way. Thank you that you waited at the right time to send the incarnate Son, your incarnate Son, who became flesh and dwelt among us to give us hope, to set us free from ourselves and to trust in you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray you would continue to work long after, Lord. My family and I leave here long after we've heard the song and we sing the song and worship to you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are good. And we know that even when we don't understand, when we, as Mark was saying, as we're being impatient, Lord, that waiting sometimes sucks for us, that we don't understand, Lord. We know that we can trust in you, Lord. And as we read through and study through Psalm 62 today, we know that you are faithful and true. We may not understand everything, Lord, but we know that we can trust fully in you, Lord. So, Lord, just continually remind us to trust in you. Lord, not in our own strength, but in you. Lord, we love you and we praise you in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated for just a minute. I'm excited that next week is my last week to be able to preach my last sermon with you guys. And some of you may have noticed as my time is coming to an end here as the youth and associate pastor and as the interim pastor for the last 7 months, I've been scaling back a little bit. And we've been fortunate to have elders who are able to step up and fill in. And as an elders team, we met a couple weeks ago, and Sean Weigel has been stepping up and really filling in a lot of the roles lately that you may have noticed. And as we had an elders meeting a couple weeks ago, Sean brought up that he would love the opportunity to come on staff here as the associate and youth pastor here at Wheatland. So he's going to be stepping into that role here. He's kind of already been doing a lot of it, but officially September 1st kind of will be his official start day as business in the place where he can kind of step back from that right now. So we're excited to welcome Sean on as our new associate youth pastor. Yeah, go ahead and clap for him. If you have questions about that, please do feel free to reach out first to Sean, of course, absolutely, and you know, ask any of the elders as well. And we're going to go through and just, as Mark was saying, you know, like trusting in God right through this process. We don't know everything, but we're going to continue to trust Lord through this process. And just one last scripture here I want to end with. I read scripture all around as people are preaching, right, as I think some of us probably do. But I was looking at Psalm 61 just above it as well. And just the last verse, verse 8, then I will continually sing of your name, fulfilling my vows day by day. And trusting the Lord to me also reminds me that I'm going to sing praises to him each and every day because I don't know what's to come, but I know that I can trust in him and praise him fully each and every day. So that's what I'm going to leave you with. Have a wonderful Sunday, and please do feel free to connect with Mark and Kendra and their family as well today. God bless everyone.